Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Good morning, church. Grace and peace be with you all. If I've not had the opportunity of meeting you yet, my name is Trent. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is a joy and privilege to be in worship with you here on the patio and for those of you who are joining us online this morning. This morning, we continue our teaching series called The Liturgy of the Ordinary, in which we're looking at the ways in which the ordinary events and practices of our lives and how those events connect to the liturgy of our church and the ways in which we can find God in our everyday lives and grow and strengthen our relationship with God and others through those times. So I invite you now to join me as we center our hearts and minds in prayer. God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing, may they be acceptable in your sight. God, our great rock, O God, our Redeemer. Amen. Recently, our daughter Eliza turned 1 year old. Yes, I know it is crazy to think of Eliza as a one-year-old, and we're still trying to figure this out, how we have a one-year-old, but we do. She is incredibly fun and energetic and excited, and for her birthday, we wanted to have a big party with all of our family present and friends and celebrate her one-year birthday. But as we all know, COVID and 2020 had different plans. So instead of having a big old party for her, we had a small in-person gathering and then invited friends and family to tune in for the party via a Zoom call. Now, I'm assuming everyone by now has been on a Zoom call, probably five or so a day, right? Zoom calls can be challenging enough, but whenever you add in lots of people, sometimes people who don't know each other, along with the in-person reality of a one-year-old, that can be a little bit awkward. But we all made it through the day, and Eliza gave us the highlights we wanted as parents, all the photo shoots of tearing apart her cake and throwing it everywhere and eating it, the excitement of playing with the bag instead of the gift that she got. But there was another moment throughout this day that really caught our attention. We had the Zoom video up on our TV screen while Eliza was opening presents so that she could see everyone who had sent presents and could celebrate that way. And as Eliza was supposed to be opening up her presents, we see her crawl over to the TV, pull herself up to the TV stand, and just stare at all of the little boxes on the TV of the various people who had joined us. And she stood there shouting and making faces at all of these boxes on the TV. She was calling out, and then she would hear these voices saying, "Hello, Eliza," and she'd make some giggly noise, and they'd say, "Happy birthday," and she'd make another giggly kind of noise. And we realized that even as a one-year-old in the middle of this COVID-19 pandemic, Eliza knew that this event, that this moment, that this celebration needed people. That integral to her celebrating it was more than just mom and dad being here for this. Come on, I see you guys every day. So she pulled herself up to the TV and she called out and she got a response from those people, even if they couldn't be there in person, to say happy birthday and to celebrate with her. Call and response. When we text or we call someone, we always expect a response, don't we? And if we don't get one, we might think something is wrong, right? When we greet someone, we always expect a response, probably, even if it is 6 feet away and behind a mask these days. And as a church, we are all call and response people, aren't we? If I say Christ is risen, y'all say he is risen indeed, right? If I say God is good, you say all the time, God is good. If I say, the Lord be with you, and also with you, right? A little earlier in the service, we passed the peace of Christ by saying hello, or maybe peace be with you. If we were in a more charismatic tradition throughout the service, we might hear a few more hallelujahs or amen, preacher. But a call and response. We come together in community and in worship, and through the liturgy of the service, through our conversations, through being together, we tell each other the truth about who we are and who God is. There's a rhythm to it. There's a back and forth to it. We proclaim peace. We proclaim forgiveness. We proclaim grace and love. We extend comfort and mercy. These are all calls and responses. Sometimes those responses are verbal. Sometimes they're more subtle. That's why there are so many things in our services that frequently say the same from week to week, because there are things we need to hear together each week, because it's part of who we are. We need reminded about the truth of who we are and the truth of who God is on a regular basis. And we need to hear that not only from ourselves, but from someone outside of us. Because we are call and response people. In other words, we're people who need each other. That's become more and more evident in these times of physical distancing, hasn't it? Scripture speaks over and over again about the need for community. And our scripture today comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes is a section of the Old Testament that's called the wisdom literature. And this wisdom literature connects to the everyday and real experiences of people's lives. There are these statements by sages and the wise people of the day about how to live a virtuous life. And the book of Ecclesiastes contains wisdom from a really unique perspective, actually. Throughout the book, if you've read it, the author names things that we strive for, things that everyone says are really important, things that we're all supposed to be caring about, and then says, we've done all these things, but then they are all meaningless. Or maybe your scripture might say vanity. The word that's translated meaningless or vanity literally means a vapor or a breath. Kind of like the fog this morning that was here and now has lifted and is gone. It was here for a moment and then it just disappeared. A vapor or a breath. All these things we strive for fade away. If you ever just need a really good uplifting experience, go read Ecclesiastes and see how you feel at the end. See, the author encourages us not to focus on all these really big things, but instead says to find meaning in the simple and daily pleasures of eating and drinking and enjoying one's work. In the middle of these lists of things that fade away is where we find our scripture. And we read it and we immediately, intuitively, probably know the truth of what's being said, right? Two are better than one. If one falls down, the other will lift him up. Two lie down together and are kept warm. Two can withstand an attack. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. And what I find so interesting about this section in Ecclesiastes is that the author lists so many things that are all vapor and are meaningless and are all going to go away. But being in relationship is not something that he names as a vapor. It's like being in relationships is something that we should invest our time in because maybe they're a little bit more lasting than all of the other things that we think we could be doing. And we find this over and over again in Scripture. Scripture is always pointing us toward community. The Christian life is one that is lived out together with each other. Now the Western church, the church in America especially, has a tendency to focus a lot on the personal nature of faith. It's what's my personal quiet time like, or what's my personal relationship with God like? And in doing so, we sometimes lose the importance of community. Now, our personal relationship with God is important, but not the end all of the Christian life. You see, from the beginning, we've been people of community. There are no solitary Christians. I heard one pastor put it this way, that Christian community is like grapes on a vine. When we're connected to the vine, we're healthy, we're filled up. We might be part of a bunch of grapes on the vine that we, you know, don't always love all the time. Sometimes they're challenging. Sometimes they're difficult fellow grapes with us. But when we're connected to the vine, we have our source of life. We contribute to the lives of others. We build each other up. But what happens if you take a grape and separate it from the vine and leave it and set it out on your counter? What do you end up with after maybe a few weeks or a few months? A raisin, right? The juice in the grape starts drying up and the grape gets smaller and smaller and smaller until that juicy grape turns into a dried up, boring raisin. When we're disconnected from the vine, that's what begins to happen. Community is integral to living out our Christian life because we're call and response people, not just call people. This doesn't mean that this community is going to be perfect. In fact, if we hang around the church too long, we are probably going to be hurt by someone, or we'll probably hurt someone along the way. We're imperfect and we're broken together, but we're also in that process made whole together. We hear the gospel from each other each week through our conversations, through being in community together, through reading scripture together, through praying together. We are reminded that as Christ's body, we all make up the church. See, the church is not some entity outside of us, as if we get to stand on the outside and look in. No, no, we're stuck with each other. We're stuck with our weird quirks and habits and our faults, stuck with our differing political and theological perspectives, stuck with our differing worship preferences. But we hang in there. Because in doing so, I think we end up stuck with some pretty great friendships and relationships. Friends who are willing to get in the muck of life with each other. I love the way Warren Harrison puts it. My best friendships are with people who are willing to get in the muck with me, who see me as I am, and who speak to me of our hope in Christ in the midst of it. Y'all, this is who we are, or at least who we strive to be. To be the kind of people who get in the muck with each other, who go through the imperfectness and brokenness of life together, who sit through tears in joy, who go with each other to the hospital, who help each other move, who show up with a meal when life gets hard, who check in when they haven't seen us for a while, who call and respond. As I woke up this morning and saw the fog settle in over the city of Louisville, I immediately thought, that's how throughout this pandemic a lot of days have felt, haven't they? You just kind of wake up and you just kind of feel like you're in a fog. If you're like me, you're like, I don't even know what day it may be until you look at your calendar or see what's going on. But from my experience, that fog begins to lift whenever I start engaging with others throughout the day, be it because a friend called to check in and say, hey, how are you doing today? What's going on? Are you hanging in there? Be it through a Zoom call where I'm able to see other people's faces and I begin to recenter myself and recenter the purpose in life and excitement for what we're doing as a community and as a church. That fog becomes a little bit less dense and you can see a little bit more perspective of life whenever you have that call and response with those around us. You know, this is church. This is the call and response we are invited into. If there's anything this pandemic has shown us, it's that we need each other. Yes, it's changed the way we interact. Yes, it's changed our community. But if there was ever a time when we need someone to go through the muck with us, it surely is now. Because simply because we are physically distant doesn't mean we have to be socially distant. What a better time to call and respond, or to text and respond, by literally calling people and texting people. See, as I think about what Eliza showed us on her birthday, I think she taught us something. She taught us, yeah, that the party would have been more fun with people in person. But it doesn't mean we have to be distant as a community. We can lean in and be excited to see each other or hear from each other, even if we only see them on a screen and don't get to sit next to them in church. Even if it means texting, even if it means calling, that call and response can still happen. So friends, the invitation today is simple. let's lean into community, whatever that might look like. It might mean coming to worship and seeing your community in person. Or it might mean calling a friend. See, I think calling a friend is a sacred act. Because, y'all, we need friendships. God gave us friendships and gives us relationships to be with each other. We need people who walk alongside us. It is never a waste of time to check in on someone. But you also might call and check in on an acquaintance. One of the things we've lost in this pandemic is probably not our close friends. We probably stayed in with our close friends, but our acquaintances, our acquaintance friends, those people maybe you see on Sunday and maybe you check in on in person, but maybe you're not super close to. Yet when we don't see these people, we begin to lose those connections. Maybe today or this week you take a moment and you send a message to someone you haven't heard from in a while. I sometimes feel guilty when I've not checked in on someone for a while, and this guilt can lead me to not check in at all. So instead of calling and saying, hey, it's been a while, sorry I haven't checked in, wanted to see how you're doing, I decide not to do that. But yet that's a small and important part of our call and response as a community. It's an invitation for the Spirit to work and for grace and mercy to be extended in ways we probably could never imagine. We don't know what someone might be going through right now. We don't know how much someone may be missing church but can't get themselves to come through the doors quite yet. Never has being a call and response people been more important than right now. And friends, when we do this, we find that these friendships are unique. They're unique because they are centered around a hope that we all share together. A hope found in Jesus. It's a hope that we point each other to when we have no hope ourselves. So y'all, let's be the church. Let's lean in and love on each other. Let's hope for and with each other when we're stuck in the muck of life. Let's be people who call out in grace and respond in love, even if that's from afar. For this is who God calls us to be. And this is how we will continue to be the church. No pandemic can stop us from doing that. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.